Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. World won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me.
Breaking up with Linda Mitchell.
You
said
it, girl.
Michelle and
Jeff.
Yeah.
Share and care with love all through the land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate.
Well, good evening. It is Tell It Tuesday. Hope everyone had a wonderful day today. You know, last night we had our weekly horoscope reading by Stefan. You know, she sets us up for the week. So I hope you took notes, and if you didn't hear them all, go back and jot them down. It's real out there. The stars and the planets line up out there, and they can sort of like control our mood. So I hope you heard everything. I hope you're listening down. You know, I found out today that there's no more masks on airplanes and trains and all of that stuff, you know. But I'm also seeing the cases arising in some states. So continue to do what's best for you. And I want to tell you this on Tell It Tuesday. As we work for the greater good, we build happiness for ourselves and others. The more we do for other people, the more the path of our own happiness will open up. In realizing this, we discover a sense of gratitude in being able to help them. When we light a candle for others, our path becomes brighter. When we challenge ourselves, joy arises. So welcome in to Waking Up with Linda Mac Shan and Stephanie Haynes, the author of The Healing of the Womb, will be on with us. We have a series going on here, Healing Trauma. Get your pads and your pencils out. I'll play you a little bit of this because this is what this lady is about. And this is what we're all about as women. And we're celebrating International Women's Day today. It's all about the women. That's right. Stephanie Haynes is on the line with us, the queen of being every woman and showing other women how to stay there, get there, and remind yourself, reflect back, and understand your values. Stephanie Haynes, how are you this evening?
I'm doing great, Miss Linda. How are you?
I am wonderful. I am so glad. You know how I started off. Thank you. We have so much appreciation and gratitude for you to come on and your busy schedule. And you've been busy out there. You had your event last week, Grown and Sexy, Black Women Wellness. You have some wonderful things coming up. I noticed that there is a high tea coming in May, and at the end of the month, there's going to be fun out there for the community. So before you go today, we want you to give us some information on that and let us know what you need and how much fun we're going to have. And I think that's going to be on April 30th. So on that note, I'm going to let you take it away and welcome in.
Yes. So good evening, listeners. So we are talking about the gift of presence. Being mindful in the midst of our trauma. So the more experts we become, the less we see. When our brains receive stimuli, they do their job by first sorting all of the stimuli that comes our way, then looking for patterns, and finally constructing categories and concepts in order to make sense of the input based on our previous experiences. Now, this information flows can be called top-down processing, and it often serves us very well. Now, imagine if we had to start anew with everything we encounter in a day. For example, if you had to learn each morning how your coffee maker works or how to drive a car. Now, research psychologist Elaine Langer, she explained that actively noticing differences is the key to present, and that it is our expertise that gets in the way. Now, one way of understanding this is that our top-down processing means that our minds are filled with memories, stories, and experiences from childhood on, which can sometimes and get in the way of our being able to have a fresh look at something. Now, ironically, the more expert we become, the less we can see. Because our learning from past experiences filters our perception. Now, part of our eagerness to always fill in the blanks is because our brain prefers answer over And we like nothing or at least thinking that we know, when we provide a story that allows the brain to protect us, it's happy, and we can enjoy a chemical reward for the story regardless of its accuracy. Now, this phenomenon explains in parts why just be present. Sounds so simple. And yet, in practice, it's so hard to incorporate into our daily lives. Now, getting comfortable with uncertainties and not knowing is part of our challenge. Not knowing is okay. Now, you remember I told the tale about the purple bag on last week. So just imagine, for those who wasn't with us last week, I'm going to tell you this story about this purple bag. Now, our family tales of the purple bag illustrates what an amazing storyteller our brain is. When Dan and I returned from a trip from San Francisco with Alex and Marty. Our then school-aged children, we couldn't locate the purple bag on the carry-on bag that we always brought with us on our trip. Now, I thought I saw it all packed up and ready to go at the front door before our trip. Now, Dan thought he remembered putting it in the car. And our kids thought they last saw it in our hotel room. We retract our steps, search our house and car, and call the hotel. But no sign of the purple bag. One day, while looking for Marty volleyball shoes, I found the purple of the closet. It turned out that the purple bag had never left our house. We were all shocked by this and most of all by the convincing stories that each one of us had created regarding the bag whereabouts. Our brains love stories. Truth aside, stories help us try to make sense of things and even help us socially construct a shared view of reality as our family did with the missing purple bag. Now, how many of us do that? And sometimes it can become a blaming game, blaming someone for having something that you just misplaced. And I always say nothing is ever lost in the universe. Because one day it's going to come up. Now, by contrast, with bottom-up processing, we receive and perceive input directly through our five senses, which is seeing, smelling, called our six senses. The introception, or our way of feeling the sensation of the body. This is a direct way of noticing, free of filtering through the prior expectation or judgment. Language research shows that when we create a mindful state that can be understood as bottom up, we experience a spaciousness and an ability to see details, which in turn allow us to live more fully in the present. Nothing lasts, nothing is finished, and nothing is perfect. That's by Richard Powell. Now we're going to dispel the myth. What are the myths about ourselves and the managing our lives that still have a hold on us? Now, when I start listening more deeply, not only to my own inner voice, also to the women in my office, my interviewees, and the women in my workshops, I realize that regardless of age and stages, we all share similar challenges. We often find ourselves trapped in stories that have withstood the test of time, but not of the truth. We underestimate and downplay our abilities, skills, and worth. The myth of I am not good enough and its cousin, I don't deserve it, are alive and pervasive when it comes to women appreciating themselves and giving credit where credit is due. Now, one business consultant whom I interviewed, who worked extensively in the Silicon Valley, said she's shocked how prevalent imposter the syndrome is in so many successful women who feel less than or incompetent. Now, Joy is a single mom an occupational therapist, one of the most accomplished and capable women I know, who has worked in various clinical settings while raising her two children. She is the one you can count on to host friends and family for holidays and birthdays, always managing to bring together when no one else seemed to be able to do it. So Joyce declined to be interviewed for this book. And when I asked her why, she said, "I'm such an underachiever compared to what I could have done. I missed the mark. I should be in a better place now." Now, do this sound familiar? Although men attribute women ascribe their success to be lucky, working hard, and having support from others along the way. Now, male students constantly overestimate their grade point average, while women underestimate, and when it comes to job hunting, women tend to not even apply for jobs if they don't meet all of the qualifications for the position. While men, on the other hand, apply if they meet only 60%. Furthermore, finding jobs, nearly 60% of the men negotiate their first salary, while less than 10% of women do. And I went back over this because this is what we talked about last week. And just to give a brief overview of what we talked about, you know, especially women in having self-worth and confidence within themselves and how they look at themselves compared to men. So I'm going to move on for what we're going to talk about today is growing access to our most flexible self. And what we talked about being flexible, you know, with ourselves. And I have some questions for you guys to think about. And I think that being here is it. And then 10,000 times a day, you can slow a little and throw one savoring glimpse at the miracle of being around. I think that ultimately the test of even very rigorous practice over long years is actually to invest all of the non-practice movement with the present. I think the present is it. So you can do this. Purpose of a mini experience. So let's pretend that your mind wandered just now. Perhaps you're feeling angry about something, worrying about a project, or distracted by a push notification. Pick any one of these things in the following list, all of which have been used successfully by real people. And take just 1 minute or less any place, any time, starting slowly and simple. As with all of the exercises, the more time you can spare, the better, but even a few seconds is a solid start. So just pick one. So number one, this moment, this breath. Whether you're sitting or standing right now, focusing your attention on the sensation of the breath as the air moves in and out of your nostrils. Now, when you're breathing in, sense the in-breath. When breathing out, sense the out-breath. Focus on the breath for a minute or as long as your time allows right now. Okay. Number two, a single visual object. Pick the morning light through the window, a tree, a shadow. Just savor it. I mean, if you're near a window, you can look out. If the moon is out, look at the moon. Or look at the trees as the wind blows in. Looking at the leaves. Now, if you have a fruit tree, like I do in the backyard, it's blooming. Getting ready to bear fruit. Number three, a single activity. Select something you do daily, such as putting on your shoes or walking out your front door. Let it fill up your entire awareness. Be fully present for it. Not just rushing out the door. Now, this is something I want you to practice in the morning before you leave to go to work, school, your workout, whatever it is that you do when you get up in the morning. I want you to be present. And just notice how you walk out the front door. Or your back door, side door. Number four. Thank you emails. Send one thank you email to someone who made your life a little bit better. Five, vision or break. Go offline. Perhaps placing your phone in a drawer or making your screen dark. For just a few seconds. And just repeat it throughout the day. Some of us just need to detox ourselves from the phone and from the computer. And number six, observe ordinary that you wouldn't usually spend time looking at. And observe it deeply. Perhaps an apple, a leaf, a piece of poetry, poetry. And notice everything you can about it. You can observe a lot by just watching. Now, here's an example of the powerful of just one breath. Now, Guadalupe, in her late 40s, is a single mom with a 10-year-old daughter. Now, Guadalupe works long, unpredictable hours as an administrator assistant at a clothing manufacturer. She went back to work when Juana was 6 weeks old, in order to meet her monthly expenses, including rent for the apartment, which is located in the best school district in her community. Now, for a few years, promptly upon returning home, each evening after work, Guadalupe would rush through her front door, sit her handbag down, and Juana would rush to her like she was Santa Claus. About a year ago, Guadalupe noticed that Juana was always busy and barely looking up when she came home, which frustrated and saddened Guadalupe. Now, becoming aware that Juana has entered a new stage in her life, Guadalupe now take one deep breath as she opened her front door upon returning home, calmly her house, change her clothes, and then set out to see Juana. Now, just a few seconds of presence, one breath, can make a huge difference in our relationships and in our larger lives. Now, breathing is mindfully brings the mind back home to the body in just 2 or 3 seconds. It's a quick way to begin to release whatever mental activity has a hold on you. And when we can feel free within a few seconds, Lucky Wana, the federal judge Kate Ferry amplified present in the workplace. Now, when I asked what being present means to her, she replied, "Of my job is being present. It's required not multitasking." Judge Farid has 3 posts is facing her when she is in session. Don't say it, be patient, and be kind. Don't say it, be patient, and be kind. They serve as a buffer at times, such as when she would otherwise jump into help a struggling counsel before her or react to something in a manner that she would regret later. Now, this is something we should all practice. Don't say it. Be patient. Be kind. When we're going through our tribulations, our struggles, when we're in an argument sometimes, we don't think before we speak. We just speak. So just remember, don't say it, be patient, and be kind. And that's a practice. You know, this is something I had to practice. You know, because sometimes, you know, people can get on your last nerves. You know, they push that button. But we have to don't say it, be patient, and be kind. You know, Judge Furry, she recognized that she needs to be aware of everything that goes on in her courtroom. And as soon as she noticed that, she's distracted. She's recentered herself by standing up. She announced to her courtroom at the beginning of the most section that she may occasionally stand. And she also wear a watch that reminds her to take a moment and breathe. Now, months after our interview, I was happy to hear from Judge Fury that she may even add a sign to her bench, which said, "Now, like Guadalupe, taking a breath to give herself the buffer she needs to bring her most resilient self forth before she connects after work with Wanda." Now, this is something I mentioned last week, that, you know, something that I practiced, you know, with my young children when they was coming up. And when I came in from work, I would ask them, give me 30 minutes just to depress, you know, to let go of all the stress and to recenter myself so I wouldn't have to come out yelling and screaming at them from a long day, right? So mothers, you know, fathers who's out there, you know, raising young children, be mindful when you come in for work, you know, just to do some downtime before you engage, you know, with your loved ones. You know, but Judge Fury has posted in her habit of standing when she becomes aware that she is distracted. I hope that these two examples are present in everyday home and work life encourage you to consider how you might be able to incorporate more mindful moments in your day. Now we're going to talk about good stress. Now, research shows that women have higher stress levels than men, which may challenge our psychological and physiological well-being. Now, take a quick pause right now to consider which of these two statements best describe how you feel about it's harmful and should be reduced, managed, or avoided. Or B, stress is helpful and should be embraced, utilized, and welcomed. Now, if you select the first statement, you are not alone. Less than 10 years ago, many psychologists, doctors, and scientists, crusaders against stress. Now, health psychologist Kelly McGonigal pointed out in The Upside of Stress that she held steadfast to the messages that stress is toxic for years. What changed McGonigal's mind about stress? A 1998 study asked 30,000 people in the United States how much stress they had experienced in the past year and whether they believe stress is harmful to their health. 8 years later, the public record was reviewed to find out who among the 30,000 had died. Now, as you might guess, a level of stress correlated with a 43% greater risk of dying. What you might be surprised to learn, however, and what was caught McGonigal's attention was the finding that the increased risk applied only to people who believe that stress was also harming to their health. Those who reported high stress levels but didn't view their stress as harmful was not more likely to die. And in fact, they had the lowest risk of death in the study, even lower than those who reported experiencing low stress. How amazing and surprising is that? Now, these are individuals that, because we all experience stress, and they're all different types of stress, but learning how to process your stress and going through the stress, opposing it, you know, it's attacking you. You are actually processing it. And that's why an individual doesn't get sick or die, because we all is going to experience some good stress. Whenever anything meaningful is at stake, the physiological arousal of stress naturally occurs. Stress in this way can be an inherent part of our engaged life, and there's no way around that. A meaningful life is a stressful life. Raising children, managing aging parents, covering college tuition, working hard to heal or plan it, or meeting demanding work deadlines can bring high level of stress. But this doesn't automatically mean bad stress. It may just be evidence of a full life. So stress may actually be good for us. The key is not to get rid of stress, but to change how we relate to it. Now, Magolian example, explain it this way. When we think our life should be less stressful, feeling stress can be seen as a sign that you are inadequate. Boom, can talk today. Inadequate. If you were strong enough, smart enough, or good enough, then you wouldn't be stressed. Stress becomes a sign of personal failure rather than evidence that you are human. Now, not surprisingly, we are more likely to feel overwhelmed and hopeless when we are in this mindset. This is underscored why our relationship to stress is so important. That sometimes experiences are so threatened that they activate our flight, fleet, freeze, and even faint response. Let me read that again. Time experiences are so threatening that they activate our fight, flee, freeze, and even faint response. What psychologist Carol DeWitt, author of The Mindset, calls a threat reaction as feeling anxiety, fearful, and uncertain, like, I can't do this. Climbing up the mountain, you're halfway there, and you're telling yourself, you can't do this. Or even running the marathon. When you hit that wall at the 20 miles, I remember when I ran my first marathon, and I hit that wall at the 20 mile. And I said, I can't go backwards. There's a 2-4 to go back. I only got 6.2 miles to go. All right? And so I had to keep going. So staying in a threat state for a long period of time can negatively impact our health, even though the initial stressor itself was not harmful. However, there are situations where a threat response is approximately or appropriate situation involving domestic or intimate partners of violence creates chronic toxins and therefore activate threat response in the individual experiencing it. Now, on the other hand, what DeWitt calls a challenge response that is hopeful, excited, confident, I can do this, profoundly change how demanding situations impact our lives. Now, certain groups experience chronically elevate stress level as a result of prejudice, discrimination, and marginalization they face on the basis of their identities. Now, social science use what called minority stress theory to study why and how minority individuals experience poor mental and physical health than their counterparts in minority groups. I don't know what's wrong with my tongue today. I can't speak. Now, this theory holds true for racial and ethnic, as well as gender and sexual minorities. Some studies have also taken into account the intersectionality and illustrate its prevalence across groups. Now, one study, for example, illustrates the relationship between the minority stress, elevate levels of anxiety and depression in the LGBTQ plus individual. All right, so then we're going to go into the motherhood penalty and the fatherhood bonus. The motherhood penalty and the fatherhood bonus. Now, women with children struggle to adapt their careers to the demands of child rearing and are often viewed different from their male counterpart because they don't fit the mold of the leaders, primarily men who have preceded them. We are often expected to show our unwavering devotion and dedication to both work and our children and are held accountable in ways that men are not. Now, have you ever left your office early to attend your daughter's soccer game or some other event? Or gone to work late because your son's preschool had a holiday celebration that morning? Those of you who are parents may even have received negative feedback about your choices, as I have, including that you are not taking your work seriously enough. Now, on the other hand, when a male colleague leaves work early to attend his children's sporting events, you may have heard that he's a great dad with no negative reflection upon his work. Why is that? Now, Canada-based Jacqueline Carter and Denmark-based Ramis Hugard often work together as business partners of potential projects. Now, this is a global provider of leadership and organization effectiveness solution based on a training the mind. By all experiences, Jacqueline and Ramis led very similar lives at work and at home. Both have 20 years of experiences working with international organizations. Both have a quick smile, gentle spirit, and clear-minded that draws you in from the first moment you meet them. Both also have twins, even look-alike. It's no surprise that they are so successful in rolling out mindfulness training programs for corporations around the globe, including the Accenture, Cisco, Lego, the Marriott, IKEA, Microsoft, to name a few. So when I asked Jacqueline about the motherhood penalty, she gave this example. When Ramis lead a training program and open with a story about his kid, feedback from the audience is glowing along the lines of, what an amazing man, so successful yet kind. When Jacqueline opened with the exact same content and mentioned her kids, the feedback often reflects less support and respect. She noticed, as an experienced presenter, you know whether you have captured the audience or not. And for me, as a woman, mentioned that I am a parent is a potential distractor, as it makes me appear less professional. Whereas for Ramis, it is a bonus because it makes him seem more human. That business leader exposed family friends value, but in a recent survey, only 40% stated that the best workers are those without a lot of personal commitment. Reflecting the stringent consuming attitude of the high intensity workplace. Now, approximately 2/3 of the male senior managers in the United States have children, compared to just 1/3 of the family senior manager. Since family responsibility are typically associated with women, women are less likely to meet expectation for the best workers. Now, generally, employers have been seen awarding fathers more than mothers, something academic called the motherhood penalty and the fatherhood bonus, whereby fathers get extra credit while mothers are perceived as less devoted because they have children. Wow. What do you think about that, Linda?
I'm muting back in now because I'm sitting here listening. What do I think about that? Well, what you're saying is absolutely true. I've experienced it, not on that level, but I've seen it in action. And, yeah, I believe in the motherhood penalty, being that I didn't have children to place there, but I had other responsibilities, just as busy as the men were, the fatherhood bonus. But I've seen it in action, and it's actually true. So by you speaking on that, how would we as women or the ladies that are experiencing that, is that something that would make them drop, or will they rise on it? See, I'm a riser, so if you come at me that way, you got a problem. But a lot of ladies, you know, we take the other route. So what would you suggest that ladies that are in offices or in the professional field and experiencing that? You know, we work on a lot of boards and, you know, which is top heavy with men, on different organizations and stuff, and you just see it in every day. Just normally it's always there. So what would you suggest that the ladies do?
Well, me personally, you know, I'm kind of like you, Linda. I have not really experienced it because the type of work that I do,
mm-hmm.
that encompasses that, you know, really I work with a lot of women to making mm-hmm. sure that they, you know, really reach their higher potential and mm-hmm. not to be able in a way that is demeaning and mm-hmm. for them to take away their self-worth. Now, mm-hmm. and it's a surprise how men, and I guess because women, we look at, this is something we're supposed to do. You know, take care of the children, making sure that all of their needs are met, get to their sporting activities, their dance activities, whatever they need to do, right? We do it all. But for a man, it's like if they even go to the game, oh, you're a good dad, you're supporting your children. Like, you know, they get praise for that. Like it's almost like for women, it's something like it's automatic. That is something that we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I never understood how. And this is so true, that men get rewarded for doing things that they are supposed to do automatically. So, but it goes back how society have put men and women in the boxes.
Yes, yes.
You know,
yes.
Women are supposed to be stay at home and rear the kids, and the fathers yes. will be the, you know, and so the fathers
right.
supposed to be the hunters and the gatherers, right, to bring the the food and the money into the household.
Right.
But those days is long gone, because now we have women out there making a living for themselves and to be able to run their own household.
Right. Right.
Right.
Well, I'm in agreement with you on that. I've experienced it, not say with the children thing, but most of my adventures have been in a man's world, you know, managerial, the stock market. Those are the men's fields. And when you are female in there moving and dealing with Wall Street, they want to close your deals for you, or if they're listening, you know, when you're in that room, everybody's listening. Everybody's in the gym at the same time. So if they hear you speaking with a client and, you know, there's a problem, go, oh, well, let me close the deal. Well, it did not work too well with me, because I'd have to stop it when I get off the phone and ask them, do I look like I'm making apple pie in the kitchen today? A no to me means no. So I was a different type of character, but yet experienced it, but just like didn't take it as a stress factor, putting it back on stress. It didn't stress me out. It gave me fuel to stand up and do what I had to do. But it's there. It's there. It's there naturally. It's there just on a natural occasion. If you're dealing with residents or tenants, a man will approach you as a female in a managerial position with a demanding attitude, or tell you what they're going to do if this is not done. Uh-huh. And you experience it. But when you approach me, I tell you to do whatever you need to do in the most kindest way as I possibly can, and do what works best for you. But if you go against the grade of this policy, it's going to come out of your pocket and not mine. Okay, but that's just the difference in how, going back to stress. I think stress is very helpful. As a matter of fact, I function better in what most people call a stressful situation. It's like fuel for me, okay? If I find that it's bothering me to the point that I'm getting dizzy or lightheaded, then I have to flip it around real quick, because in some cases, like you say, how people look at it, you know, is it helpful, is it harmful, or is it a growth notch? I take it as a growth notch. But I'm liking this idea of you telling these stories, because it's true out there. And you work with women, so it's a little bit different. And women, we are nurturers by nature anyway. And then on my case, I was around a lot of men. So I would have to go in a little bit different dealing with that. But it was very noticeable on the approaches that they had. It's just that I was able to flip the script and keep on moving because that was my makeup, okay, and my training, because we were always told that you can do whatever you need to do and no one is better than you, so never, never devalue yourself. So when you run into that type of situation and you approach with that, it makes you rise. So I guess you could say I was always that cake baking in the oven, okay? But I've learned how to don't say it, be patient and be kind with it. But if you push it, I'm going to always be in the present, and we'll have to have a dialogue about it. But it's out there. It's out there all across the board. And the ladies that are aware of it, you just have to toughen up and keep rising. I'm liking this conversation because it's tying in so much here. And to stop and breathe, you have to take a deep breath. You must take a deep breath. Settle in so that you can have that patience. And especially what we've gone through, you know, this event that I call it, we've all had to put ourselves in a position, Stephanie, to don't say be patient and be kind. But more so, what we're speaking of today, the best thing to be is always be present. And that takes
skill. Right.
that takes skills. So this has been very exciting. You see how quiet I've been over here, but knowing you, you always pull it out of me. You always put me on that pulpit, and I love you for that because you're going to make me state my opinion. I love it. I like to write and listen to you. But this is a great subject. Being present is very important. And the more, and how do you get to be present? You have to be aware of yourself first, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I'm gonna zip it on that. We got a few more minutes here. Keep going. Keep going. Thank you for asking.
Oh, okay. So, the worry work or the mental load continues to fall mostly on the mom's shoulders to anticipate and organize what the kids need. Dad is happy to take me to the dentist, but it's usually mom's who is masterminding the schedule. Study of a heterosexual couple confirmed that mothers draft the to-do list while fathers pick and choose among them the items which is on the list, right?
Yeah.
While several studies have shown that lesbian and gay couples are generally more egalitarian in their division of labor. Now, researchers on the other groups in the LGBTQ community is limited. But only one study suggests that female partners of transgender men carry the brunt of the housework and the emotional work. Researchers has also found that mothers' paid work hours increase when children activity decrease or not affected by how much their children do. See the difference there? Now, pre-meeting all of this is our unconscious gender assumption about what makes a good leader. The respondent in one study said, someone named Eric who often knew ideas with a natural leader, while someone named Erica who offered the same idea was not. Men are seen as having leadership qualities like gravitas, while women are seen as having supportive roles quality like dependably. Now, I want to acknowledge here that parenting responsibilities do not apply to all women, nor is parenting the only source of work-life challenge for women. Although culture messages and expectations may be that women are supposed to have children or want children, some of us don't for whatever reason, by choice or not. Now, Cecilia decided early in her life to not have children. About her decision, Cecilia explained with aspiration, no one can believe it. Aging, I'm not just relative, but cab driver, but even my own family physician. Cecilian hoped that since she is not in her 40s, the disbelief and question will soon stop. Excuse me. The water. Now, most, if not all of us, may hold gender assumptions. when Anna Marie Slaughter first became the Dean of Princeton in 2002. She attempted to change the norms by deliberating, talking about her children. She also ended faculty meetings at 6 p.m. Now, mentioning that she was going home for dinner with her family. Now, after a few months of this, several female assistant professors showed up in her office agitated. "You have to stop talking about your kids," one said. "You are not showing the gravitas that people expect from a dean, which is particularly demanding, damaging, precisely because you are the first woman dean of the school." Slaughter found interesting that the gravitas and the parenthood don't seem to go together, and told the professors that she was doing it deliberately and would continue. So I'm going to end on that note.
Whoa.
All right.
Whoa.
Now, this is the dean,
yes,
at Princeton.
Yes. Yes.
And so you know what the men there at Princeton, how they view women. And I won't say no more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, or now.
I hear you. So I guess that's why, and I'm so glad you have that. So that's probably why I degreed myself in leadership and management, because that's been in my bones all my life, and I can swing with it, right? And it's been difficult. This has been very, very interesting, Stephanie. This is a series that we'll carry out throughout the month. I'd like to, if that was the closing on that, to give us some good things, which you told us on Tuesday about what's happening at the end of the month with this event that I've received. Is it springing into wellness? And are you taking RSVPs, or just the address is put out there? I have the flyer. I didn't know how to approach it, or is it just like community come in and spring into wellness? Is that how you guys are going to do that? Okay.
Yes,
I needed to know that.
The community is welcome to come. Yes, the community is welcome to come. And it's a free event to come into the event. But there'll be fees for different services that will be presented. You know, they're going to have massages. You're going to have detox, acupuncture, the yoga. They're going to have womb health, different yoga clothing, organic and holistic body and hair products. So it's going to be a wealth of foods, crystal water from the mountain.
Okay.
Fresh juices. It's going to be a whole lot of health and wellness stuff, I would say.
Okay.
So it's going to be something for the mind, the body, and the spirit, and the soul. You know, this is going to be an opportunity for everybody to come and rejuvenate and to become whole once again.
Yes. Well, I saw it. I was going down the list, and I said, well, I didn't know if it was RSVP. I knew that there would be a lot of services provided, vendors out there, and I'm glad that you took out time to explain it. So you want to come and relax for the body, mind, and soul, and have the opportunity to experience and pick up some goodness, so that you just don't have it for the hour that you're there. You can take things back with you and have them at home. So there will be monies required for the services, but the event within itself, the entrance is it's just open. I love it, Spring into Wellness. I really like the title of that. because we definitely need it. And today, you know, the no mask mandate, I'm saying, okay, all right, well, I didn't want to fly with the mask on, so I know I'm not flying with them all. So here we go again, but I have to deal with that. That's just my optional. How I want to do it, okay? I'm just sitting back watching. I'm glad to see that they're using the word option after 2 years, you know. So, but it's still kind of with me, I move slow. I move slow and low, so I'm more observant. So I have to work. But I said, oh, my goodness, I wasn't getting on the plane with them wearing a mask. And now the mask is off. I guess I won't be on the plane for another year. I have to find another mode of transportation, okay, to do what I have to do. I'm just watching. But it's a good thing. But your title on the event, Spring Into Wellness, and that is an excellent title. It's going to be an excellent event, listeners. The address is out there. Stephanie has a flyer. I'll post it out with the address and the contact information. Drop by. And I know it's going to be a beautiful day. And I can just imagine the festivity and the beauty and the way that it's going to be arranged. Just the arrangement itself, just hearing what's going to be there, stones, jewelry, herbal, things, yoga clothes, massages. Did I see something about, was it something about detox information? I have to go back over the flyer again.
Foot detoxing. Yeah.
Yes.
It's going to be foot detoxing.
Yes, yes. I like that foot detoxing because it pulls out the metals through, and it's a good way. That might be something I need to look into. So here we go. You'll be doing what, facial?
I said they'll also be doing facials, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. It's going to be wellness all the way around in that camp, and I'm loving it. So listen, that's on April the 30th. Can you want to, we'll post the address out there later, or you want to give the address now, or shall we do it later? What would you like to do on that, or a number for contact, just in case anybody's driving in and they get lost? The GPS is not working.
Yeah, they can contact me.
Okay, and give us that contact information, please.
323-428-5862.
Okay, 323-428-5862. Contact Stephanie Haynes for April the 30th, Spring Into Wellness. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful outing, experience, educational, informational, and helpful for the body, mind, and soul. All right, Stephanie, and we're going to take next week. We're still staying into our present and healing trauma,
yes,
throughout the month. Is that correct?
Throughout the month, yes.
All right. Well, Stephanie Haynes, we appreciate you for coming on. We know you're busy, all the workshops, the grown and sexy happening, the in-between, dealing with your clients at work, and you have a full day. You're a very busy woman. That's why I always put out there, I'm every woman, because that's where we are, and definitely that's what you're doing, and we appreciate you, Stephanie. We appreciate you so much. So on that note, we're going to tell you to have a good evening. Thank you for caring and sharing and telling it to us on Tuesday. And we love you, Stephanie. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you.
You're welcome, and have a great evening.
Thank you, ma'am. Stay safe.
go. If you do, come on and go with me.
Others how to live.
We care, share, we love.